All right, if you would, this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Get rid of all the renegades here, and then we'll get started. Today, being a new year, and for several other reasons, I'm going to start a series of messages, and I'm going to try to limit it to 4 weeks. And I'm titling this series, Back to the Basics. And one of the reasons I wanted to do that is because we've had an unusual number of people recently who have contacted us over the internet about our website. And what's interesting about it, many times people find the website that are already grace believers, already saved, and that kind of thing. But we've had several contacts lately about people that have learned about Right Division through the website ministry. And from all over the country. And it's not a number, you know, in the hundreds or anything like that. But for us, there's been several people. And so, being a new year, I thought it would be a good time to maybe take 4 weeks and do 4 messages on Back to the Basics. And what we're going to look at in these 4 messages is, first of all, the apostle we follow. Secondly, the gospel we preach. Thirdly, the dispensation in which we live. And number 4, the word that we trust. And that one will be on the King James Bible. I hope that I'll be able to keep these messages about 39 minutes and 58 seconds. Under 40 minutes so that we can get 2 on one CD. And that way with 2 CDs, we would have 4 messages that if you've got friends or family that maybe don't understand about what you believe, you could give them these 2 CDs and they could listen to 4 messages that would give them a good foundation of what dispensational truth is really all about. Now, for those of you that are old timers, I know a lot of this, all of this really will just be repeat information. But I hope you're like I am, because I never get tired of hearing those fundamental foundational truths about what we believe. It's always a blessing to me. So if you get nothing out of this, I'm sorry, I know I will. But at any rate, I want you to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and the message today is the apostle we follow. The apostle we follow. And of course, when we say that, we're talking about the apostle Paul. Paul, our apostle, wrote 13 books in your Bible, and those books are the books of Romans through Philemon. They all follow in order after the book of Acts. And those 13 epistles are followed by Hebrews through Revelation, which we refer to as Hebrew epistles. Romans through Philemon, those 13 epistles, are the epistles that our apostle, the apostle Paul, wrote. Say, well, why do you call Paul our apostle? What about the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles? What about John the Baptist? What about Jesus Christ? What about Peter, James, and John? What about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Well, all of those are legitimate. All of those are very real, and their ministry was every bit as important as Paul's ministry is important to us. Their ministry was important to the nation Israel. The difference is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 11, our apostle says, First Corinthians 4:16. He said, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now also in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me. So we have, in those 3 verses alone, we have the Apostle Paul over and over again saying, be ye followers of me. Was Paul some kind of egomaniac? Was Paul just trying to get up a following for himself? No, that is not at all the case. As a matter of fact, he warns against that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I want you to notice over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, because apparently there was a problem that existed in Paul's ministry that I find still exists today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, Paul said to the Corinthian church that he tells twice in the same letter, be ye followers of me. He asked a question in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1, am I not an apostle? Well, that tells me that there must be some people that were questioning his apostleship. And that is exactly what happened. He goes on to say there, am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Now I want to say something here about these verses, because it's very important that you understand that next week, for example, we're going to talk about the gospel that we preach, that gospel committed to the Apostle Paul. Paul said, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Paul preached the gospel to the church at Corinth. He said that gospel was Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. That was the gospel that Paul preached. Those at Corinth that believed that gospel were saved, and they were saved as a result of the Apostle Paul and his ministry. And listen, the same can be said about every saved person in the dispensation of grace. If people are saved today, regardless of what church they affiliate themselves with, if they're saved, they got saved by Paul's gospel. Because there is no other way to be saved today. You cannot be saved by repenting and be baptized. You cannot be saved by confessing your sins. You're saved one way and one way only, and that is by the gospel that Paul preached. And so Paul can say about every person in the dispensation of grace, just like he said about the Corinthians, I have begotten you through the gospel. Because that's the only way that people are saved. Now, the problem today is that many people disregard or diminish the importance of Paul's apostleship. And they should not do that. Why? Well, I want you to look at several things. First of all, I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul was a chosen vessel, chosen by the Lord. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Now, you know, I mention this quite frequently, but it's always interested me in talking to people that resist the truth of dispensationalism or the truth of rightly dividing. They generally want to try to discredit the Apostle Paul. They'll make statements like, well, Paul wrote things according to his own opinion, and Paul was not really one of the 12, and that's where the real authority was, and on it goes. Well, you know, that's interesting to me because in Galatians chapter 1, notice what Paul says there in verse 13. He said, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Do you notice what Paul said there in verse 15? He said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Go back to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, Paul is a chosen vessel, chosen by God Almighty for a specific purpose, for a specific people, and to preach a specific message. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, talking about Paul. He said, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Look over in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, in verse 2. Acts 13, 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So Paul was a called, he was a chosen vessel. Now, you know, that's not really anything extraordinary in the Word of God. I mean, come on, folks. Didn't God choose Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage? Didn't God choose Moses to give the law through and to? Didn't God choose, even while he was in the womb, John the Baptist to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ? Didn't God choose, through Jesus Christ his Son, 12 disciples and one to replace the one that would fall to carry out the gospel of the kingdom and to preach repentance and remission of sins, as he said in Luke 24 and Acts chapter 2? Listen, God chose men throughout the Word of God to fulfill his purpose for a specific people for a specific period of time. But when you get over to the Apostle Paul, said, oh, well, Paul was not really a true apostle. Come on. Paul said, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? As a matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, last of all he was seen of me as one born out of due season. So don't ever let anybody try to put across the idea to you or anybody you know that Paul's apostleship is not authentic. He was chosen by God Almighty. And the same God that chose Moses, the same God that chose John the Baptist, the same God that sent his Son Jesus Christ and chose 12 disciples to preach that gospel, is the same God that chose the Apostle Paul to be the apostle of the Gentiles. He is a chosen vessel. And we should never be ashamed. Paul told Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Now, this apostle, Paul, was Saul when he got saved in Acts chapter 9. Later, his name is changed to Paul. God had a specific purpose for this man. He was to be the apostle of the Gentiles. There in Galatians, where we were reading a moment ago, in Galatians chapter 1, I should have had you stay there, but in Galatians 1, we read there in verses 13 through 15 about him being the chosen vessel. But in verse 16, the purpose is given, and he says, well, let's start back in verse 15 again, Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, notice, to reveal his Son in me. Now you need to stop and chew on that a little bit and think about it. What was God doing through the Apostle Paul? Revealing his Son through Paul. You see, people say, well, I believe in following the red letters. I believe in following the words of Jesus. I can't tell you that how many times my dad and I had discussions. And time and again, he would say, well, listen, I'd say, well, Paul said this. And so he said, yeah, but Jesus said this. He said, we would always take the words of Jesus above Paul. And I'd say, well, listen, the words of Paul are the words of Jesus. He said right there that his ministry was to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him. Where? Among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Got a Facebook message from Dave and Rhoda last week, and they said they were Sunday morning laying out on the beach there in Florida. I had a one-word response. Heathen? That's what we are, folks. That's us. Somebody told me one time, I was reading Jeremiah, and they said, learn not the way of the heathen. I said, what are you talking about? I am the heathen. I don't have to learn the way of the heathen. That's what we are. That's what Gentiles were considered. Not only were they considered heathens, they were considered dogs. And it's no wonder that people resisted the ministry of a man who said, listen, I'm sent to the heathen. I'm sent to the uncircumcision. I'm sent to the dogs. And the Jews resisted that because they believed that salvation was through the Jew. Salvation was through the nation Israel. But this apostle, the Apostle Paul, he said, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Romans 11:13. You see what Paul is magnifying there? Not himself, not his flesh. He said, I magnify mine office, the office of the apostle of the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 15, look there in Romans 15. A great contrast in Romans 15. Of course, we quote verse 16 all the time that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. But notice what Paul says up there in Romans 15, verse 7. Romans 15:7. Wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Notice, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Who is that? That's the Jewish people. The Bible said He came unto His own. His own received Him not. Paul said He was a minister of the circumcision. But Paul says, verse 16, that I should be the minister of Christ, of Jesus Christ, to the Gentiles. You see, Paul was God's representative. Just like Jesus Christ came to offer the kingdom to the nation Israel, Paul came and through that presented the Lord Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery and offered salvation to all men on the basis of the faith of Christ. He is our apostle. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians 3. In Ephesians 3, in verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Why? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul is not trying to usurp authority over Christ. He makes it clear there's only one mediator. It's not a priest. It's not a pope. It's not a man. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Why is he that mediator? He gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. A very important phrase. To be testified immediately after the cross? No. To be testified in due time. Heard somebody say one time, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was the due time testifier. And that's exactly right. He said he's to be testified in due time. Now notice verse 7. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. You see, time and time and time again, the Apostle Paul has to defend his apostleship. He is the apostle of the Gentiles. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now think about this. Did I give you the wrong verse? I'm sorry. That's 2 Timothy 2. That's what I said, wasn't it? Remember what I said about my mind? Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm sorry, verse 7. I've got so many verses to cover. Zane and I were comparing this morning. He had 49 verses he was going to use, and I only had 22, so I felt bad and I added a few. And that's why I'm going so fast here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Why did Paul make that statement? Because, listen, folks, the only way that people today can see salvation is through the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles. Now, let me pause here for a moment and say something, particularly those that are not in this auditorium, but maybe listening over the internet or listening to this later. Gentile salvation. We talk about Paul being the apostle of Gentiles and the Gentiles being the dogs and that kind of... Listen, there was always Gentile salvation available throughout the Bible. In the very beginning, God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'll bless you and I'll bless those that bless you. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. There was never a time when salvation was not available to Gentiles. But those Gentiles had to follow God's prescribed way of salvation. And that prescribed way, after the formation of the nation Israel, was for a Gentile to come to God through Israel. In the tribulation, the Gentiles will be judged on their treatment of the nation Israel. Thus, in Matthew 25, you have Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, and he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And I was naked and you clothed me. And they said, When did we see you like this? And he said, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. So what happens? Today people take Matthew 25, say we ought to be blessing Israel. Well, number one, as far as God is concerned, there ain't no Israel. They're not a people today. There are people in their own minds, there are nations in their own minds, but there's going to come a time when they will be reestablished in the land as God's people. But today they are not God's people. The fact is that Gentiles were to be saved through the ministry of the nation Israel. And they could come to God through blessing Israel. Like there in Matthew 25. As a matter of fact, in that same passage, he says, because of that which they did, he said, enter therefore into the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those Gentiles will be able to enter into that millennial kingdom because of their treatment of Israel. Not you and I. When Paul is saved, look in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. I'm still trying to think why I told you that verse I told you, but anyway, it'll come to me one of these days. In Acts 13, we read there in verse 2 a moment ago, where he said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. Well, shortly after that, Paul shows up in the synagogue down in verse 14. And he begins to address the audience there. He's given an opportunity. In verse 16, it says, Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. And so he preaches a message there. You get down to verse 38, and he makes a very important statement that really changes everything about what had been taught previously. Because in verse 38, he said, be it known unto you, therefore. Now remember, he's in the synagogue preaching to Jews and those that fear God. And he says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Wow. And no wonder some of them wanted to kill him. You mean you're going to tell me that all this keeping of the law is of no value? You mean you're going to tell me that all of my heritage and background and my Phariseeism and all of this is of no value? And Paul says, you're exactly right, it's not. Because you've rejected the Messiah, but through this man that you've rejected, there's forgiveness of sins. From all sins from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. And the people hated that message, the Jewish people. And they rejected that message. And they threw Paul out, basically. And he went out into the city there and preached on the next Sabbath day. He wasn't welcome back in the synagogue. Now, I want you to think about something. The Apostle Paul is the Apostle of the Gentiles. Tells us over and over again, be ye followers of me. And he's the only person in the Bible that refers to the gospel that he preached as his gospel. And I got to thinking about that. You know, why didn't Peter talk about my gospel? Well, because when God committed the gospel to the 12, he gave it to 12 of them. When Paul committed the gospel, the grace of God, to the Apostle Paul, he gave it to just one man to begin with. Now, it was given to others as a result of that. God separated Barnabas and Saul for the ministry that he had called them into, but Paul was the one that received the revelation of the mystery, the revelation of the good news of the gospel. Thus, look in Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, verse 16. I'm not going to make a lot of comments on these. I just want to read through them quickly. But I want you to see them. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Look in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Romans 16:25. Now to him that has the power to establish you, how? According to my gospel. As a matter of fact, Paul mentions three ways whereby people are established. The first one is my gospel. Remember the verse? Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You get the gospel squared away, you get saved, you trust Jesus Christ, you're going to find it's a lot easier to understand all things. But he says here, three things. Now to him that's power to establish you, number one, according to my gospel, and number two, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and number three, by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You see, folks, the idea that we somehow just pull 13 books out of the Bible and that's all we believe in reading and studying is absolutely not true. You can't really be established in the Word of God without understanding all that the Bible says. But you understand that according to Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy 2, read this verse a moment ago, verse 7, consider what I say and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now notice, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to what? According to my gospel. If you go back to Acts 2:30, don't take time to do that now, but if you go look in Acts 2:30, when Peter was preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he said that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to sit upon the throne of David. Why did Paul say he was raised from the dead? For our justification. He was raised again for our justification. So you've got Peter's perspective of the death, burial, and resurrection, and Paul's perspective of the death, burial, and resurrection, and they are not the same. Components of them are exactly the same. The fact that they both preached the death, burial, and resurrection proved that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. But I have yet to find anybody that can show me where Peter preached the gospel that Paul preached. Say, well, he talked about the blood. Yeah, but listen, folks, the gospel goes beyond just the facts of his death, burial, and resurrection. The importance of the gospel is to whom it was available. People like you and I. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Tell you what, on the way back there, before we go there, look in Galatians chapter 1 again. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I wonder why God saw the need to put that in the Bible. Because there were going to be some people that would come along and say, well, Paul preached the same gospel Peter did. Probably even learned it from him. Paul said, I never received the gospel I preached after man. I didn't receive the man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice over in chapter 2. In chapter 2, he said, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel. Wonder why he didn't say the gospel. You see, the gospel might be inclusive of all the gospel, but he said, I communicated unto them that gospel, which I preach among the Gentiles. To me, that would indicate that there is a gospel that differs from that which they were preaching. I mean, after all, come on. As I mentioned the last time, we just read this verse a couple weeks ago when I talked about revelation. But come on, folks. Why would Paul need to go up and communicate unto those at Jerusalem the same gospel that they were preaching? Well, he wouldn't. He had to go up there and communicate to them that gospel because it was the gospel he had received by revelation of Jesus Christ, and they were not preaching the same gospel Paul was preaching. I went up, verse 2 again, I went up by revelation, communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Then you look down in verse 7. He said, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. And it does not say in the verse, the gospel to the uncircumcision. The gospel to the uncircumcision, the gospel of the uncircumcision are completely different things. The gospel of the uncircumcision is the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, committed to the Apostle Paul. He went up there and communicated unto them that gospel. That gospel was that all men can be justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, you are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Then I quoted a moment ago the covenant of Genesis chapter 12. Abraham, I'll bless you, and I'll bless those that bless you. I want to ask you a question. Could those at Ephesus have been saved under that promise? They have no hope. That's exactly right. You know why it said there was no hope? Because there wasn't any hope. It says what it means, folks. There's some people that Paul's writing to here that were outside the covenant's promise. They weren't about to bless Abraham or Israel. If they got an opportunity, they'd curse them. They hated them. No wonder there was a middle wall of partition between them. You know, see, folks, you don't get the picture. Many times we don't get the picture of the enmity that existed between those Gentile dogs, those heathen Gentiles, and those religious Jewish zealots that were keeping the law. There was great enmity. And Paul said, at that time, that is in time past, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, in time past, there was hope for those that were in the covenants of promise, but there was no hope for those outside the covenants of promise. And so Paul was given this glorious gospel that opened the door of salvation to all men. Not on the basis of who they were, but on the basis of what Christ did for them at Calvary. Over in the next chapter, in chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles that were just addressed back in chapter 2, outside the covenants of promise, without hope and without God, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me and Peter and James and John. No. Which was given to me, to you word. Over and over and over again in Paul's epistles, he makes this a personal thing and makes it clear that his ministry was separate and distinct from that of the 12, and that that came before him, he was given a new dispensation, a new gospel, a new ministry to a new people, and it was all about salvation by grace, through faith, apart from the law, apart from being in the covenants, or apart from anything else other than trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Nobody knew about this dispensation of the grace of God until it was given to the Apostle Paul. And when it was given to him, it was due time for it to be testified. And now it's been testified for over 2,000 years. And people still have little regard for the Apostle Paul. Oh, if you get right down to it, I'll take the red letters over Paul every time. Well, after all, Peter was the man. He's the one Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and whosoever sins you remit will be remitted." Peter was the chief apostle. Yeah, he was, for that church that started in Acts chapter 2. But he's not for that church that started with the Apostle Paul, when Paul said that in me first he might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe. Folks, your apostle is the Apostle Paul. I don't blink when I say that, and I don't even think about apologizing for it, because I didn't make that decision. God Almighty did. He's given us a book here that contains all the information that he wanted us to know. And those 13 epistles that Paul wrote outline not only our salvation, but our walk, our position in Christ, and our future glorification. You just think about pulling those 13 epistles out of your Bible, and you get over there to the end of about Acts 8 or 9, or Acts 8, let's say. And then you jump over there to Hebrews, and James, you read over in James to the 12 tribes. The whole point is, you can't find yourself in those books. You keep finding the ministry to Israel. You keep finding to the little children, strangers scattered abroad. Those Jews that were outside the Israel, outside Jerusalem. All of those people that are mentioned, they're not the Gentile dogs like you and I. The Apostle Paul was given this dispensation of the grace of God. He said in 1 Corinthians 9:17, "If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But against my will, if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Colossians 1:25, "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." You see, folks, that word "fulfill" has to do with filling up right to the overflowing point. That's what Paul's ministry did. It opened the door of salvation to all men, so that he could write in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing our trespasses. So he could write in Colossians 2:13, "He hath forgiven you all trespasses." Why anybody wants to resist the great truths given through our apostle, the Apostle Paul, is beyond me. The only reason I can even think of is man's pride has always and continues to want to do something in his flesh to bring about salvation. But with the message that was given through the Apostle Paul, it is made clear that there is none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. So what is the importance of all this? The first thing you need to realize about dispensational truth is that God chose a specific man to give a specific message, to be delivered to a specific people for a specific purpose. In relating to the Ephesians, why God saved us by His grace, you remember what Paul said? He said that in the dispensation, or that in the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Notice back here in Ephesians, we're right here in Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 6 he says, He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God had a purpose, folks, in all this. And that great purpose, that great manifold wisdom of God, is made known through the preaching of the cross, as it's revealed through our apostle, the Apostle Paul. Never apologize for following Paul. Never make excuses for presenting the truth that Paul is our apostle. Why? Because that was God's work. It wasn't his. Remember what we read there in Corinthians? He said, even if against my will, this dispensation is still committed unto me. He didn't have a choice. You and I do. You can either remain quiet, or you can open your mouth and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery by preaching this glorious gospel of Christ. Paul is our apostle. Next week, we'll look at the gospel that we preach and the gospel that Paul preached. And we'll compare the differences in the truths of the gospel of the kingdom and the truths of the gospel of the grace of God and see which ones are for us in this present dispensation. Would you stand with me for prayer?